Well, I again just want to thank you all for the invitation for having me this week. And my wife, Carolyn, and my son, Lincoln, and my daughter, Charlotte, and myself, we're all excited to be here, and we're all excited to get to know you all a little bit better, although you'll have to wait on my wife and my daughter. My daughter caught a fever yesterday, and so for precautionary reasons, we have decided to keep her home this morning, but hopefully the whole family will be back together as the week progresses. Now, some of you may have known me for a while. Some of you may have actually known me since the day I was born, and others may not know me at all. So regardless of how well we know each other, I am looking forward to visiting with you and getting to know everyone even better as this week moves forward. Well, when I became the evangelist at East End about a year ago, I reached out to Adam to have the opportunity to pick his brain a little bit and just to get to know him a little bit better. And so we got together, and it was a very good meeting for us. And although our paths have only crossed a few times since then, Adam has made it abundantly clear that he is always there for me if I ever need anything as far as my role as an evangelist goes at East End. And so that is very encouraging to me, knowing that he is always there for me if I ever needed anything. And the fact that he is an encouragement to me means that I know he is an encouragement to you all here at University Heights. So I know that you feel very blessed to have Adam here as your evangelist and just the work that he is doing here. Well, you don't have to live very long to know that life is full of its own unique challenges and its own unique circumstances, and absolutely none of us are immune to those challenges and those circumstances. And so over the course of this week, what I'd like us to do is look at some of these real-world challenges and see how we as Christians can handle those challenges in light of what the Bible says and how God wants us to deal with those certain situations. And so throughout the course of this week, we'll open up the scriptures and we'll see what God has to say about handling some of our emotions. We'll see what he has to say about maintaining our sexual integrity, and even what the Bible has to say about managing our money. But before we look in-depthly at those topics, we need to lay a foundation. Because the only way that we can properly handle these challenges the way God wants us to handle these challenges is to make sure that God is the priority of our lives. Now, as Christians, I realize that that sounds basic, maybe even obvious. But if we're honest with ourselves, many of us will acknowledge that maintaining God as the priority in our busy and hectic lives can be a challenge in and of itself. You think about your typical weekday. In fact, think about what's getting ready to come up on your schedule tomorrow. You're going to get up, and you're going to get ready. You're going to eat some breakfast, and then you're going to commute to work. And you're probably going to be at work for about 8 or 9 hours, and then you're going to commute back home. You're going to get freshened up. You're going to answer that unexpected phone call or that unexpected email, and then you're going to hurry off to your kid's soccer game. And on your way home, you're going to stop and get some gas and maybe a bite to eat. And then by the time you get home, you're going to spend some time with your kids before they go to bed. You're going to get them to bed and then spend some time with your spouse. Maybe you're going to do some chores like some dishes or some laundry. And by the time all that is said and done, it's 10:30 at night and you're ready for bed. And then Tuesday is going to roll around, and it's going to be much of the same, except this time you've got a doctor's appointment that you've got to squeeze in, you've got groceries that you have to pick up, and you've got checks that you have to deposit at the bank. And we think about how busy our lives are and how hectic our lives are, and we think, well, where does God fit into this equation? How do we prioritize God when we have all these other priorities in life? And I would suggest to you that that is a very good question to ask, but it is not the right question to ask. Because God is not just a priority that we try to squeeze into our days. No, as Christians, God is the priority of our entire lives. In fact, I think Scripture points this out just the way his followers are supposed to view him. If you would, turn with me to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm 27 in verse 4. There David says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." You think about the life of David. David was the king over the nation of Israel, which naturally means that his days were busy. His days were hectic. He was constantly getting interrupted, taking on various responsibilities. But here in Psalm 27, David is seeking out one thing, one priority in his life, and that was to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to dwell in His house. You see, David wasn't trying to squeeze in God among all his other kingly duties. David made God the one priority in his life. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. There, Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Again, think about the life of Paul, a traveler, constantly going from place to place, always meeting new people, dealing with unexpected situations. It would have been so easy for Paul to get distracted and to forget that God was the priority of his life. But here, in Philippians chapter 3, we learn that he had one focus. He had one priority. And that one priority was to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The priority of Paul's life was God. When you think about Luke chapter 10, where Jesus entered the house of Martha, and Martha was busy serving, and she was doing these various tasks, just doing everything she could to be a good host. But do you remember what her sister was doing? Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and she was listening to the words of Jesus. And Martha was upset about this. She's saying, "Jesus, tell Mary to get up and help me." But do you remember what Jesus' response to Martha was? In verse 41 of Luke chapter 10, Jesus responded, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus said that Mary had recognized the necessary priority of life, and it was God. And she displayed that recognition by sitting at the feet of Jesus and soaking in Jesus' words and His teachings. And so when we look at the Scripture, we see that despite everything else that we have going on in this life, that God is not just a priority that we try to squeeze in whenever we find the time. God is to be the priority of our lives. And this can be a unique challenge because we as humans like to compartmentalize our lives, don't we? We like to have our work life here and our school life here and our social life here and entertainment there and hobbies there and volunteer work there. And we segment and we divide and we distinguish these various aspects of our lives. And for most things, that's okay. It can be okay to do that. But we cannot do that when it comes to God. Because God does not fit conveniently in between work life and social life, or between social life and our hobbies. God is not a category. God is not a compartment. And if we treat God like He is a line item on our priority list, or that He is a segment of time in our daily planner, then we fall into the trap of thinking that somehow God is separate from and uninvolved in every other aspect of our life. And that's just not right. In fact, it's impossible because God is the priority. And He is to be the focus of everything that we do. Now, I am not saying at all that we shouldn't block out time for God during our days. In fact, I'm going to speak here in just a moment about how we should set aside time to focus on God. We have come here on Sunday morning, a set aside time to collectively worship God. We will do that again on Wednesday night. The members here at University Heights have decided that is a good time to come together collectively and to honor God. But what I want us to see is that God is more than just a block of time. God is not confined to a block of time. He extends into everything that we do, every activity, every errand, every business meeting. Everything is done before Him, and everything is done for Him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, we see that laid out for us when Paul says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And so whatever is on our agenda, it is to be performed in a way that glorifies and honors Him. The same idea is reiterated in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul is describing these expectations for husbands and fathers and wives and servants. And beginning in verse 23 of Colossians 3, Paul says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." And so verses like this are very important in helping us see that the time we spend doing various activities in our lives is time spent for Him. And so instead of thinking, you know, I wish I had more time to spend with God, or I wish I had time to serve Him more, or if only I could find the time to bring Him more glory, don't ask those things or make those statements. Instead, remember what Paul said, that whatever we do, we are to do it to the glory of God. Whatever we do, work heartily as for the Lord, because we are serving the Lord Christ. And when we truly grasp that, and we truly understand that He is the priority, then we begin to realize that our time spent in the classroom as a teacher is to be done in the presence of God and for the service of God and to the glory of God. Or the work that you do as a stay-at-home mom is to be done in the presence of God, for the service of God and to the glory of God. Or the work that you do at a retail store is to be done in the presence of God, for the service of God, and to the glory of God. And the same is true when we're running errands, or playing basketball, or sitting at our child's violin recital. None of these things that we do in our lives are isolated segments of our day that are void of God. They are all moments that are to be treated as opportunities to serve Him, praise Him, and to let our lights shine to the world around us. God is like a blanket, and He drapes over every aspect of our life. Now, I understand that when we are in the middle of work or school or whatever else is going on, it can be easy to forget that, yes, God is the priority. We say that. But when we're in the trenches, it can be hard to remember that. So to help remind us of that, we have to get into the habit of exercising certain disciplines that will help keep our hearts and keep our minds focused on God throughout our days and throughout our lives. If you work out, then you know the importance of working out on a regular basis. You know that the more you do it, the easier it becomes, and it becomes like a habit. Or maybe you go to the dentist and your dentist says, you know, you need to start flossing. And so you go home and you floss for a few days and it's hard to remember at first, but the more you stick with it and the more you do it, the easier it becomes, and soon it's a habit. And the same thing applies when it comes to maintaining our focus on God. There are certain disciplines that when done on a regular basis will help train us to maintain our focus and constantly remind ourselves that everything we do in life is about Him. And so the couple things that I want to mention this morning is, first, we need to make sure that we are regularly reading our Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Hebrew writer says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." I love how the Hebrew author says that the Word of God is living and active. How often do we think about that? Because we look at the words on this page and we oftentimes view them as just that. We view them as words on a page. And so while visually the text of the Bible resembles any other book, we need to remember that the message is alive, the message is active, and the message has transforming power. And when we sit down and we read these words in faith, then they have the power to transform our lives and to conform our lives to God's standards. And as people who are trying to juggle the tasks of daily life while keeping God as the priority, that's really important to keep in mind. Remembering that God's words have the power to teach us how to do daily life according to God's standards. They have the power to constantly remind us that He is to be front and center. That everything we do is to revolve around Him. But not only are the words of God alive and active, but the Hebrew writer says that they are sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Word of God is like a sharp knife that separates joints and marrow. It's a sharp knife that's able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. That is a sharp knife. Now, if you get to know me any this week, you might learn that I really enjoy hibachi grills. In fact, when I go to a hibachi grill, I think about this verse every time I'm there. And that might sound odd, but stick with me. Next time you go to a hibachi grill and you're sitting around that grill, and after the chef is done spinning eggs and throwing vegetables and lighting onion volcanoes on fire, watch what he does when he pulls out that knife. Because with that knife, he is going to cut through chicken, and he is going to cut through tough steak like a hot knife through butter. That is the sharpness that should be conjured up every time we think about the sharpness of God's Word. And the fact that the Hebrew author uses this imagery to describe the Word of God is fascinating to me. I love how the Hebrew author talks so much about the Old Testament, specifically the Old Testament priesthood. Because you think about somebody who knew how to wield a sharp knife, and it was a priest. Because a priest was somebody who would regularly take animal sacrifices, and he would kill those animal sacrifices, and he would cut those animal sacrifices up and place them in a specific way upon the altar. Well, the Word of God is like that knife that the priest would use to cut up those animal sacrifices. Because the Word of God cuts us up as well. And like those sacrifices, the Word of God reorients us and it arranges our lives. It tells us to stop thinking this way and to start thinking this way. To stop valuing this and to start valuing this. Treat people like this. Spend your time like this. This is how you live life. It arranges us. And it places us on the altar to be an acceptable sacrifice. It discerns our thoughts and our intentions. It tells us when we're being selfish, when we're being arrogant, when we're being rude, and how to correct that. It rearranges. It reorients us. And you couple that with what is said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, in which the Apostle Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Again, the Word of God has the power to transform, to reorient us, to be that acceptable sacrifice. And when we allow the Word to do that in our lives, when we make it a regular habit to spend time in this Word, then we will make God the priority of our lives. Well, there are a couple other simple tasks that we can do to make sure that God remains the priority. And the next two are meditating on and praying about the things that God reveals to us in His Word. Now, I am really, really good at reading something and comprehending something and then immediately forgetting everything that I've just read and comprehended. Some of you may be able to relate to that. But if I take the time to meditate on what I just read and comprehended, then I allow it to soak in and to take root in my mind. And then if I continue to revisit that and meditate on those things some more, then those things start to become concrete. And it becomes even more difficult for those things to leave me. It's like if you were to go out and plant a young tree. Right? You don't just go out and plant it and then just leave it. Because if you did, it would die. So what do? You go back to the tree. You revisit the tree. You water the tree. You fertilize the tree. And the more you do this, the more time you spend with the tree, the bigger the tree is going to become, the stronger the roots are going to become, and before you know it, you have an immovable tree that's not going anywhere. And the same is true when it comes to meditating on God's Word. When we meditate on it, when we revisit it time and time again, then it takes root in our lives and it becomes solid and concrete. And so it's not just the reading of the Word. It's the reading and the meditating that transforms and reorients. Psalm 119, verse 15, the psalmist writes, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." This is a focus on the transforming words of God. Meditation, fixing our eyes. The psalmist is showing that by doing this, God is the priority. And coupled with the need for meditation is the need for prayer. Now, Scripture is adamant about the necessity of prayer. You're familiar with verses like Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, which Paul says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer." Or Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, where Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." Or Romans chapter 12, verse 12, saying, "Be constant in prayer." And the reason is because prayer, along with Scripture, is the way in which we communicate with God. You see, the Word is God speaking to us, and prayer is us speaking to God. And just like there is power in the Word, there is great power in prayer offered in faith. James chapter 5, verse 17 says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." And so we see that no matter how busy our lives are, we have to take time to just be still, to pray, to meditate on the words of God, to soak those things in, to ponder on those things, to keep regular communion with Him, so that we can keep Him front and center. And again, those things sound simple, don't they? Reading and meditation and prayer. But it's oftentimes the most simple things that are the most effective things. And something that I would encourage each and every one of us to do is to begin each day by doing these things. Now, obviously, I cannot stand up here and tell you that you have to start each day by reading and meditating and praying. I just can't tell you that you have to do that. But I think that there is value in that, and there may even be scriptural support for why that is a more than appropriate time to do those things. You think about it for a second. What day of the week do we gather to come and worship Him collectively? The first day of the week. That is the day that God has commanded that the saints join together to offer collective worship to Him. We begin our week focused on God. Or what about when we give? What are we to give? We give of our first fruits. And in the giving of ourselves, we first give Him the very best of ourselves, but even financially. Before we give of anything else, before we allocate our money anywhere else, we first think, what am I going to give to God? And so our worship and our devotion to God is all about firsts. So why not apply that to every day of our lives? Let's first make sure that we begin every day in God's Word, meditating on God's Word, praying to God. It only seems fitting. Again, the psalmist in Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 and 2 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. That is from the New King James Version, where it says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. The English Standard Version and the New American Standard Version say, earnestly will I seek you. But the idea is that this is something the psalmist couldn't wait to do. Because the psalmist realized just how much he needed to do it. David recognized that his soul was thirsty for God. And so he went early. He went earnestly to God. And we should have that same attitude, shouldn't we? In fact, that should motivate us to want to begin our days earnestly seeking and desiring to be with Him. Or look at what is said in Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The psalmist writes, Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare for you and watch. Again, the psalmist is placing an emphasis on the morning being a time in which he cries out to God, in which he prepares a sacrifice to God. So again, that would be a suggestion, an encouragement to start each day in this way. Because if we start each day by reading and meditating and praying, then we reinforce the truth that God is to be the central focus and the priority of our lives. So we may need to forget the news. We may need to forget Facebook or forget Instagram and focus on God. And that may mean we wake up 30 minutes earlier. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to spend some time with a preacher. And he told me that he wakes up every single morning at 5:30 just so he can start his day with God before the day gets busy and the day gets hectic. And there's so many other ways that we can spend our mornings talking and being devoted to God. As we're getting ready, we can speak to God. As we're commuting, we can skip the morning talk show. We can listen to an audio Bible. I know that my father-in-law has made it a habit that on his commute, he prays to God from the time he leaves his house to the time he pulls into his work's parking lot. So there are a number of ways that we can prioritize and make God the priority in our mornings. But remember, the motive for doing this is to make sure that this is done regularly so that He becomes the central focus and that everything we do throughout life, during every minute of our day, is done in light of Him. Now, I have talked about how busy we are during our lives and how busy our days can be. But you know what you might realize as you create and make God the priority of your life, is you might realize that some of the things that make us so busy may not be that necessary. God may reveal to us, as we are pursuing Him as the priority, as we are spending time in His Word and praying to Him, He may reveal to us that there are certain things in our lives that need to go. Things that are just spiritually unprofitable. Things that distract us and hold us back from maintaining Him as the priority. And it may be TV. It may be hobbies. It may be video games. It may be shopping. It could be a number of things that God is telling us that we either need to cut back on or completely eliminate in our lives. And if we're serious about making God the priority, then we will do those things. We will recognize those areas and we will make the necessary adjustments. But you know what else might happen? When we spend the time with God that we need to, God may also reveal specific sins in our life that are distracting us from Him. And if that's the case, we should thank God for that revelation. And we should approach Him with a desire to get rid of that sin. Approach Him with an attitude of repentance. And we should reestablish Him as the priority. And so again, this is a central foundational lesson for the rest of the lessons that we're going to have this week. Because if we are not making God the priority, then we will not handle the challenges that we're going to be talking about through the course of this week the way God desires His children to handle those challenges. So I hope this morning this has been food for thought. Something that you can think about and consider and ponder as we work through the lessons throughout the course of this week. I appreciate the time that you've given me this morning, and I look forward to our main period of worship. Thank you so much.